As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
From Sinatra, swing to Brando stage. Marilyn's Grace to JFK's age. It's Johnny Russo, Hollywood's own. With Jeannie Raymond, secrets are shown.
Welcome, everybody. It's time for another Hollywood Godfather podcast. And see, when we say send your cards and letters, we listen. Right, Jeannie?
Oh, absolutely. Jeannie, I love it.
My co-host, fortunately. And we have a request. Well, give us who sent us the information and what we're going to be talking about tonight.
All right. This is from Taz, and he had seen the movie Lemke and wanted to know how much of that was real and wondered if we'd talk about that show. So I am really excited because I watched it too. And I had so many questions. What a great show. I loved it. But I learned a lot.
It was a great movie to do too. It was the first time I worked with Tony Curtis, who's an icon, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the other people in it. But let's get right into it then. So let's start.
All right. So tell us how you got this role.
Well, they came to me. I was in a whirlwind of doing some great movies at the time. And they came to me. And what most people don't realize, that Louis Buchholter, Louis Lepke, started Murder Incorporated with Albert Anastasia. They called him the Mad Hatter. Now, Albert Anastasia, his brother Tony Anastasia, stood up for me for my confirmation. He was my godfather in real life.
So that's wild. Funny,
and I knew so much about the movie, and to work with, Anjanette Coleman, a lot of good actors were in that movie. And it was a Jewish director. He did about six films while he was here. And I thought it was a great movie.
I did too. I started watching it. I didn't have any idea what I was in for, but I'll tell you, you looked great in that movie. Tony Curtis, of course, is beautiful, gorgeous in the movie, and so many faces of actors that I don't know their names. In fact, was Paul Sorvino in that movie? I watched it on my phone and it was small, and there was a guy that reminded me of him. I didn't know if that was him or not.
That wasn't him.
Okay. I'm not sure who it was, but what a great show. So just in the big picture, I mean, I recognize that a lot of it was real, but were there parts that were, what do they call that, where they just kind of make up their own stuff to make it sound good? Or how much of the movie was accurate?
Well, the only reason I know most of it was true because I grew up with it. I was friends with these people when I was in my teens. And so they asked me to do the movie. First of all, I wanted to do it. And
sure.
Good time in my career to be doing these kind of movies. And to work with Tony Curtis, who was a legend already.
Right.
And to me, it was really well done. And do you remember the one scene when he was going to the electric chair?
Oh, yeah.
And they shaved his head and all that. That was eerie.
I'll bet.
They put me in that scene. I was in a cell in a prison in New Jersey. And we were there all day. And, you know, they darkened out the windows and all that because it was nighttime. But then when the sun went down, they took down all the outer covering. And then when they shaved his head and prepared him for the electric chair. When he was walking to the electric chair, the rabbi was praying behind him. And he stopped and gave me a look into my cell, which I wasn't on death row, but that's what we're talking about when you just brought up. That would never be because I wasn't on death row. But he wanted that look between us. And then as we were doing that scene, there was a tremendous electric storm really outside.
Wow.
So it led so much drama to it. So while we were shooting it, you know, because by that time we had the light and we got so many takes of it already. He looks at me and I looked at Tony and I said, you know, Tony, we're probably going to get an Oscar for this. Look at this electric storm. They're going to have to give the Oscar to God.
Well, I'll tell you. So let's start from the beginning. So Lepke, holy cow, he was always a stinker, it sounded like, in and out of prison, in Sing Sing more than once, you know, grew up.
Louis Buchholter was a tough guy. And he got his bones, as they would call it. Because he threw Hyman Roth, or the real name was A.B. Rellis. He actually threw him out the hotel window and killed him. Now, he did that in Bath Beach. Now, this guy, and then, you know, him and Albert created Murder Incorporated. You come with them at the right money, and they'll tell you how much it's going to cost, and they take it out. They don't care who it was.
And that's okay. Now, in the movie, there was a few times where they kind of seemed like they had a little bit of jealousy against each other. Is that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, what it was with Albert, you know, it's funny because Albert was bigger than life. And Louis Buchholter played it close to the best. It was a good-looking guy and all that. But, you know, when you're killing people, you shouldn't be parading around town. That's why you know how Albert died, right?
Albert. Did he get shot?
In real life.
Right. Was he in the restaurant?
No, he was in the barber chair getting a shave.
Oh, that's right.
And he came in, riddled him to death, filled him with holes.
Who killed him?
Who knows? I mean, I don't know that. But the interesting thing about all of that, when Louis Buchholter went into hiding, he was actually hiding in one of the pillars of the Brooklyn Bridge. They went in at night and created a little suite for him. He had TV, had everything. Nobody knew where he was. He was right in Brooklyn all the while.
All the while. How long was he in hiding? Do you recall?
He was trying to make a deal with Dewey, and that's how he made the deal then. He said he'd turn himself in, and they promised him, you know, they would do everything in his can, and obviously they double-crossed him. But he died. But I mean, that whole thing, and I liked how they weaved in even the religious stuff, you know, because Buchholter was Jewish. And if my memory serves me right, he was married to Anjanette Comer, wasn't she? The name of the actress.
Oh, I don't know. I can look. I don't know. I don't know what her real name. In the movie, they called her Beatrice, I think.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the movie made it seem like he adored her.
Yeah.
And adopted her son. And it reminded me a little bit of Costello. He had his life in the business and then his home life, completely different guy. Very loving, very.
Costello never cheated. One thing about Frank Costello, he and Loretta were so loyal to each other. And that's why, fortunately for me, I didn't even know why he liked me. He liked everything about me. I mean, he knew my uncles, and unbeknownst to a lot of people, my uncles were the reason his mother and father came to America. So with that said, there was a camaraderie, what do they call that word? I don't even know what that word is. But anyway, there was a familiarity.
Camaraderie. Is that the word?
Yeah, that's the word.
Friendship. Okay, we got it. We'll get there.
Yeah. That's how that came about. But you're right. I mean, when he was so in love with his wife, that, like you said, but you can't compare them. And I always correct anybody that ever thought that Costello cheated. He never cheated on his wife. And I'd be entertaining for him major women. Grace Kelly, when he owned the Copacabana. So when these ladies came in, he was such a gentleman that I loved it because, you know, I was dressed in a suit already. I was only 14, 15 years old. But I was mature just because of my lifestyle with him.
Sure.
He would have me sit at any table, women that he knew. So when he got up, other men wouldn't come. And he said, anybody comes to sit down or talk to you, tell them to leave the table. There's a private table. And I used to tell them. But he and Loretta had such an amazing marriage. But Tony Curtis at that time was wild. I couldn't even tell you. I mean, because when we first met, he made me feel like a woman almost. He was so into me. You know, like I'm comparing, like if I was talking to a girl, that's what I'd be saying. And he was trying to test me if I was bisexual. He's so crazy.
Yeah.
Which I could share something now because two of my favorite people, him being one of them, when they were my house guest, him and Marlon Brando were my house guests, and Mario Puzo in Cannes. Most people don't know this. When Superman came out, Marlon Brando was Superman's father.
Right.
And Mario Puzo wrote that screenplay. Did you know that?
Only because of you.
So anyway, now they're my guests. I was in Agnelli's house, Chateau Benefiat, was Fiat Motor Company. And he used to let me house, and he wanted to come all the time. I had all the celebrities during the Cannes Film Festival come. And I couldn't believe it. This is after me making Lepke, obviously. Tony Curtis comes and we invite him up to the party. And there was two different parties going on at the AAA high-end party. We're very small, but very high-end actors and actresses. And when Tony Curtis came in, he and Marlon haven't seen themselves in a long time. They got into a kiss on the lips. Maybe I would say 3 or 4 minutes, but it seemed like an hour. They were kissing each other. And I'm saying, what is this about? Which only verified that he was bisexual.
Yeah. Right.
But
It's crazy, but man, what a beautiful man. Tony Curtis, he was beautiful.
And then I later on in life, when he got a little heavier and he married that big blonde, I even forgot her name, they used to come to my club in Vegas. And I couldn't believe it. She was like a building, but maybe it was the masculinity in her that he was attracted to.
Well, that could be. That could be. Yeah, that's funny. Was he married before? I know he's got that beautiful daughter, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Who was that? What was their name? They had the kids.
I know Jamie Lee Curtis. I don't know any of his other children.
But who's the mother?
I don't know. Let's look.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I don't know much about him, but I do know. Man, he was good looking, and so was that daughter of his is absolutely stunning. Okay. So in that movie, so they show him getting he gets married, and he is is he friends with, is it Walter Winchell, the reporter?
Walter Winchell. Yeah, I mean, Walter Winchell was interesting because I learned that firsthand. Walter Winchell used to be at the Copa every night.
Oh.
He was comped because in the column every day he'd write who was at the Copa.
Oh.
Walter Winchell, him and another lady, Dorothy Kilgallen.
Oh, yeah.
Who was a journalist at the time also. All those people, that's how smart Costello was. They were comped. We call them, you know, they came in, everything's carte blanche. But the thing is that early on, Grace Kelly and all of them would be there because I used to go to Barbizon School on 62nd and Lex to get flowers for the table. That's how I found out what that was. I'd go there at 9 o'clock when all these debutantes had to be in and all their mothers and fathers around the world were very happy that they had a curfew. But then the floor monitor, I'd give them an envelope with money in it. And I'd pick up the girls who wanted to go to the Copa. And they all wanted to go to the Copa because they were in the column. So it was a great way to get celebrities, young starlets. That's how I met Audrey Hepburn, Grace Kelly early on. And that's how I was invited to Grace's wedding. And then when, you know, she had a big movie coming out. And that summer, Costello had a going away party for her and her family at the Copacabana.
And oh, wow.
They left the next day on the ship, the Constitution, and went over to get married. And I went over and I met Sinatra there. He said, how'd you get invited here? I said, what are you talking about? How did I get invited here? Because she was a big movie star already.
Right.
I said, I know Grace Kelly when she was going to Barbizon School. I met her mother and father. He was in construction in Philadelphia. I think he was a contractor or something like that. So, and we had this wonderful relationship for years because every time they had the Red Cross ball over in Europe, I went. Why wouldn't I go? Hello. I brought my boat over there one time and I left it there. But Sinatra would say, like, how the hell did you get all this on? And I remember one the funniest thing, when Sinatra one time came over to me and he said, we were both staying at the Carlton. And he said to me, there's a rumor around here that you own a big yacht. I said, well, it's not a big yacht. He says, well, why don't you tell me? I said, I don't use it a lot. I charter it out. The Carlton had it, and they were getting me like $5,000 or $6,000 a day. So when I took them down there, and it was why I liked the boat, I bought it with the slip. The slip was at Jimmy's. It was Jimmy's with a Z at the end. It was the hottest nightclub in Monaco.
Oh.
And that's where my boat was. And why I liked it, because I ran a hard wire, it was before the cell phones, to the maitre d's desk, just a wire, with my own phone. And I'd call them and say, Robert, the lady in the blue dress and the pink dress, and he knew because I was sitting on my boat, I'm watching them, invite them to see if they want to come and have a drink. And who wouldn't want to come? I had a 147-foot yacht, a Riva, a handmade boat. Sinatra said, how did you do this? I said, do I ask you how you do things?
He stopped. Right.
I was like 20, yeah, but 20s. It was crazy. But anyway, it's so crazy.
That is wild. So I'm looking it up. It says Tony Curtis was married to Janet Lee.
Janet Lee, that's it. Yep.
And then he was married to a Kristen Kaufman. Yep. And then Leslie Allen.
Who was the last girl he was married to?
Oh, Jill Vandenberg Curtis. And it said he left his entire estate, estimated at $60 million, to his fifth wife, Jill Vandenberg Curtis. After what?
The size of her was insane.
Well, it said he disinherited all five of his children.
Now, I don't know why he did that. I mean, but that, you know, that's so personal. How are you going to figure that out?
Yeah, that's wild. But yes, he was married. Oh, yeah. Well, That's a lot of wives. That's a lot of...
That's only five. I had 10.
Gil Vanderbilt. That's true. Yeah, you're like, nah, that's not much. Oh, that's funny. Well, yeah. Oh, I see the one you're talking about. She's 6 inches taller than him.
I know.
That's a big broad.
Big. I swear to God, I mean, I'm only saying this now because he's dead. I think he was attracted to her because she was mannish. Maybe she was a transgender. I don't even know.
Well,
they weren't even talking about transgenders.
Right, right. Well, he's how tall was he?
Oh, he was not that tall.
Yeah. This is a big gal.
Probably my height, maybe a little shorter.
Okay. All right. Yeah, she looks giant next to him. But
she could pick him up. She used to pick him up. She used to pick him up.
That's terrible. That's terrible. All right. On that note, let's take a quick commercial.
Oh, yeah, perfect timing, too.
Yes, it is.
Well, again, Chiller, you got to come. October 24th, 25th, 26th. It's at the Hilton Hotel in Persimony, New Jersey. And it's coming up soon. My new book, Mafia Secrets. Let me show you the book cover. This is only the pre-book out, the soft cover. Mafia Secrets. Get it now. It's on Amazon. 25% discount. And if you buy them now, get in touch with me. I'll show you how to ship them to me. I'll sign them for people for Christmas presents. And plus, Amazon's giving you 25% discount. And the book comes out November 18th, so we have plenty of...
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Time, you either mail them to me or come in and I'll sign them for you. And it's great. I mean, I really love what's happening. And I thank Amazon. I thank Barnes & Noble also. They were selling the book prior to coming out. But Chiller is going to be a great convention. And as I mentioned last week, it's October 24th, 25th, and 26th. And I just found out my new best friend, Gene Simmons, is going to be there in the building next to us at a convention right in the same parking lot, basically. So you get two birds with one stone.
Two birds, one stone.
All right. Moving back on. Let's get back into the movie. I love that movie.
Oh, I absolutely loved it. And like you were saying, they took over the garment district. Is that what that was called?
Yep.
And then he pushed the guy out the window. Why?
To get rid of him. No, but they every truck that moved out of the garment industry, they had. I mean, they were monopolizing businesses. And who's going to fight with them? They'll kill you.
Right. Yeah. And that kind of sent a message out to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Don't mess with me.
Definitely.
That's crazy. So then they were in the...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when you're selling murder for hire, you know you shouldn't fool around with these guys.
Right, right. I mean, it was crazy because he was so handsome. Well, Tony Curtis was. I don't know what... I'll have to look up what the real guy looked like. But they were a fierce group that had no problem shooting places up. And they didn't shoot them up a little. It wasn't some quick sniper job. They lit them up.
Did machine gun plays to rip them in half. It's craziness.
Yeah. The millions of bullets going around. So Joe Rosen, who was Joe Rosen?
I don't know. Who was
Well,
it?
So... It said that Lepke had Okay, let me back up. Where did you get the name Lepke?
Louis Buchalter.
Yeah, but
that was his last name, Lepke.
Oh, okay. Well, what's Buchalter? Is that like a middle name?
Yeah.
Okay. Because this first it showed him and he was talking and someone he had gone to school with kept calling him by his, and he kept saying, don't call me by that. Don't call me by that. Call me Lepke. So I was like, I missed where that name had come from.
His street name was Lepke. Everybody had that. His real name was Louis Buchalter.
Okay. All right. So, so Dutch Schultz, it mentioned someone named Dutch Schultz. Do you remember who he was?
No.
That's well, and so when he finally, I mean, if you watch the show, it's a great show, and it goes.
Schultz, you said?
Schultz.
Dutch Schultz.
Yes.
For them. Dutch Schultz was an amazing killer. He traveled the world for them.
So he was just a hitman?
What?
He was a hitman?
Yeah. A major hitman, well known throughout the world.
They're just Murder Inc. Murder Inc. So that should tell us all we need to know, right? Well, I loved the movie, and I as I watched it, I thought, what a brutal crowd.
Well, Dutch Schultz and a guy I knew personally, Yale Cohen, who was with Al Capone in Chicago, they were there on the Valentine's Day Massacre.
Oh, wow.
They killed 20, 30 people in one day in that room.
Yeah, they weren't shy about dishing it out, I noticed.
No.
and didn't seem, they would do it in broad daylight in a candy store.
Anywhere. Well, everybody wouldn't even say who did it because they were afraid they'd come and get them. I mean, they put the fear of God into you, man.
Well, yeah, that was wild. So did you get any pushback when you're doing a movie like that? Anybody want you to keep some of those secrets hidden?
Well, no, because, you know, I was around that. I think if I was a normal actor, you know, you get intimidated by that.
Sure.
But, you know, I've watched that all my life. You know, I was like 10 feet away from so many guys getting shot. And me, as early on, I loved to dance. So when Costello would go home, I'd go to Brooklyn, because that's where all the Catholic schools, like Regina Padre, St. Fortunatus, all of them had dances. So I would go there, because most of the guys won't dance. Oh, tough guys don't dance. So I'd go there and dance with everybody. So I'm saying it now, the statute of limitations over. But I used to have more problems with these guys because they'd be waiting for me out, say, hey, smart guy, you were dancing with my girl before, you know. I said, well, you know, you should learn her to dance, and I wouldn't have to dance with her. And he's sitting with five guys, or standing outside with five guys. I ruined more suit pants. Because I never drew the gun out. I'm going to pull out the gun? No. I shot you right through the pants. I put my hand in my pocket. And the funniest thing, anytime I saw four or five guys, I'd always put my right hand in my pocket anyway. So they would just think, you know, I had my hand on a 38. I blew more hole. When I was buying suits, I can mention all this now, don't mean nothing. When I was buying suits, I would say, can I have an extra 3 yards of material? They said, what do you want 3 yards of material? I said, I don't know. I may get a hole in it or tear it. It was for another leg of pants.
That's insane. That is wild.
So you're saying, watching movies, you learn things.
Holy cow. Not only that, that was something I think would be like a, who would even think to do that? That's what I'd consider a mafia secret. That's incredible.
No, but I mean, you know, because I love to dance. They didn't dance, and I was having a ball with all of them. So.
Oh, I bet you were.
But, you know, these tough kids, they're tough kids. In fact, I can remember one time, this is crazy that this is even coming to my head. This group said to me, you know, I said, you know what? You guys are tough. why don't we meet on a street corner? It's getting a little late. There's cops around here. You pick the space and I'll be there. And like the idiots, they did. So I went the day before and checked out the place. So I just wanted to get access to the roof. So during the day, I had a carton of milk bottles, regular empty milk bottles. I went up to the roof with the milk bottles. I found my spot right over the corner. Then I left again. And I bought a 5-gallon can of gasoline. And I had some rags and a bottle. I went up there and I filled all the milk bottles with gasoline. Then I taped cloth into them and put tape on them, electrical tape. They didn't have all the tape they have now, electrical tape. And then when I left, I turned them upside down so they would absorb the gasoline. So I showed up like an hour before them just in case they got there earlier. And they're congregating, you know, and they had other guys. I saw them, you know, and I'm watching them all. So I lit these things. And when you just, they're called Melnikov cocktails. So when they hit the street, the gas spills on you.
Oh.
These guys were running down the block on fire. On fire. I slowly went down, got out of the building, went home. And the next day I had the number that they called me on a piece of paper. I went to the phone booth and I called them. I said, I'm sorry I couldn't show up last night, but I heard you had a fire.
Oh my gosh.
I was very creative. Now, I did one thing I was worried about, and this may sound crazy. One thing I was worried, I never wanted to get punched in the face. I fought.
Moneymaker.
They saw my face so puffed up. That's when I was in the Golden Gloves. I said, I ain't doing this no more. Forget about it. I'm carrying a gun. Nobody's going to hit me.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny that I thought of that when you were just talking about being a boxer. And I thought, you know, just doctors, they don't want to mess up their hands. Actors, don't be messing up the face.
That's it.
I'll tell you. So I, you know, I look back and I see some of your different movies. And as we're talking about going through and talking about your different movies, you know, once a month, the one we've got coming up is Laser Blast.
Oh, that was a fun movie.
Holy cow. Where does that fit in your career?
I just wanted to do it. It was with Roddy McDowell. It was a good movie.
Yeah. So was it, do you remember which, is it like your 10th movie?
Well, we'll do what? We're going to do that next week. I'll look it up. I'll find out.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, it's a good thing you started protecting your face, because I saw that movie and I thought, holy shit, he's a handsome fella. And I look back and I'm like, it's no wonder you've got a few wives in your past. My goodness, she's a heartbreaker. Gorgeous.
I was good looking. I was in shape. I had gangs of money. So who wouldn't want to go out with you? I had the best tables in every restaurant. I took care of everybody. I was making money. I mean, I wasn't going to a day job or something like that and had to get up to go to work. And even my apartments that I had at that time were in very nice buildings. And I never told anybody where they were.
Right.
Nobody realized I had this apartment. Now I'm here over 50 years.
Wow.
You know, and this is in New York City. I have 2,700 square feet. It's crazy.
That's insane. Yeah, that is definitely a lot of space. Well, yeah, I was looking at that and I did laugh and I thought, you know what? It doesn't surprise me. Well, not only, like you said, you had good looks, you were in good shape, you had money to burn, but you sounded like you were a lot of fun and probably a little dangerous. So I think, you know, everyone wants a bit of an outlaw or somebody with a little bit of personality, so to speak. So I'd imagine you stayed very busy.
No, I mean, I can remember when I went to... how do I even remember this guy? Norman Landsberg. He's still on 6 47th Street in the jewelry exchange.
Oh.
Norman Landsberg in my 20s made me two solid gold 5-shot Derringers. And why I wanted them, I started wearing three-piece suits. I had the vests. So I figured these I could put in my hands. They don't even know I have them in my hands. They're so small. I don't have to keep blowing holes through my pockets.
That's wild. Well, you know, the difference between you and most people that in my life is you get to have clothes made for you, you know, fancy clothes. And I was laughing when I thought back, you know, I go back and listen to some things now and then. I went back and listened to your book and talked about how when you had the incident at State Street, you were like, dude, I just had this shirt made, you know?
Shirts. No, that was about the shirt.
Yeah.
Cut my throat and I got blood all over these Sea Island cotton shirts. I waited 6 weeks for them.
Yeah, that's why I laughed. I thought your face is cut open and you're like, I waited forever for this shirt. No, I mean, it's crazy.
You know why I had a sense of humor? Because I knew I was in control.
Yeah.
That's the reason.
Well, heavens, yes.
I'd be like anybody else and show fear. I used to laugh. People used to look at me and say, but, you know, I'm like 6 inches taller than this guy, 200 pounds more, and he's laughing at me. Who is he? Then I had to find out.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Now, tell our listeners, because you told another story, and I believe this was in the book, when you talked about how you were kind of crafty with what you were doing. You said one time you filled a squirt, was it a squirt gun? With muriatic acid or something like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love that story.
Yeah, that was in Florida. A friend of mine, they owned Southern Wines and Spirits, the beginning of Southern Wines and Spirits, Jay Weiss. How does this wine come back? And in Cuba Town, this package store owed them a lot of money. And he said, Johnny, could you collect it? I said, I'll collect it. He's around here, that's Cuba Town. I said, okay, don't worry about it. And I remember it. I just bought a 1957, could it have been? I don't even remember. It was when they came out with the Eldorado and it didn't have a drive shaft through it. It was front wheel drive. And I loved it. It had a big flat front. So I went because my grandfather was a mason and he used to clean this stone with muriatic acid. So I went and got, at the brickyard. You could buy in the brickyard muriatic acid. And as long as you're doing everything with plastic, you had no problem.
Yeah.
What I did, I got plastic funnel. I bought plastic turquoise water guns. I mean, really conspicuous water guns. I filled them up with rubber gloves on. I put them in a bucket in my trunk of my car, taped it in place so it wouldn't fall over. And then I pulled up, and there they were all sitting in front of the store. And I got out of the car, and I opened the trunk, and they were all already saying smart things. Hey, where'd you get that car? Maybe we'll take it from you. I said, nah, I don't think so. Then I went to the trunk, and I conspicuously put on water guns, rubber gloves, because I didn't want it to drip on my hands. They burned me.
Sure.
So they said, what are you, a surgeon? I said, no. I said, who's the toughest guy here? And this guy stood up, right? And I sprayed his crotch, and it started smoldering. I said, you better stop pissing your pants, or else you're going to have no balls tomorrow morning.
I can't even imagine. It's these crazy things you come up with. I love it. So everybody, if you're listening to this and you haven't read the book, go get it. And definitely, I love the book because I love the cover and it's great. But the audio version, I have both, of course, but the audio version is so good to hear you tell these stories. But
I'm currently doing the audio book now for Mafia Secrets. I'm on my last day. I'll be doing
it. Oh, really?
I've been recording for 7 days. It's a lot of work.
Oh, I can't imagine.
You know, it's 300 pages and they correct you when you, so I'm in a sound booth doing it, but I don't want nobody else to read them. No.
It would not be the same. It would not be the same if somebody else was reading that. But so I'm sorry I interrupted your story. But if you haven't read the book, everyone, go and get it. Listen to Gianni because it's fantastic. So you shot him with the...
But she's talking about not Mafia Secrets now. She's talking about Hollywood Godfather.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Available. You could buy it. It's still a bestseller on Amazon.
Yes, don't miss any of Gianni's books because they're all fantastic. But yes, the first book. So you shot the guy with the acid.
And they brought me the money. That's all I want. I want no problems. They went in, they got the money and brought it out. I said, now, if you still want delivery, we'll deliver. But it's COD. And I went back and I gave him the money. He said, well, take half of it. I said, I don't want half of your money. You're crazy. I'm still, one of the owners is still alive. He's 92. He tells everybody the story. Tells everybody this. I was like 18, 19 years old at the time. But anyway.
Well, you know what I love about you, Gianni? And I've asked you before, and I know people have sent in questions saying, were you ever afraid, or what were you ever afraid of, or did you ever get scared doing any of this stuff? And I don't know if it's good or bad, but you seem to be fearless. You haven't.
What I do is I don't know why, but when I left the hospital after 5 years, I was afraid of that hospital.
Oh.
When I was 12 years old, I killed a guy and I felt nothing. I felt, you know, in fact, I had this conversation with Pope John Paul, and now he's a saint. And he said to me, I know a little about you. How do you justify? Because I know you're a good Catholic. How do you justify what you're doing? I said, I'm just taking care of bad people. I'm doing the Lord's work on earth. He looked at me, he said, I'll never ask you another question.
He's like, all right then. Well, you did things.
In another show.
What'd you say?
You think we're out of time already.
Yes, we are, which is a bummer because it's been so fun. I love hearing about this. I love that movie. It's Lepke. If you people have not seen it, it's. Do you recall what year you did the movie?
No, I don't remember. No.
Well, it's been out a while. Go ahead and tell them how Buchholz's life ended. What'd you say?
It has to be 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah, well, so tell us how it ended. They talked him, Lepke, into turning himself in.
Yeah, but don't tell him the ending. Let him watch it.
All right, go watch it. It's great. It's a great movie, and it's not a documentary, but it's a pretty close to life. It's a pretty close to life reality.
All
yeah.
Right. Well, another great show.
Oh, it's fantastic. Gianni, thank you. And thanks for talking about this with us because I loved it.
Cards and letters. You send cards and letters and making suggestions, okay?
Absolutely. Send us your comments. Give us a rating. Share us with a friend. We appreciate all of you. Hit us up on Facebook or Instagram. We love hearing from you. And every time you ask us a question, it brings us a new show or a new idea for Gianni to tell us about his crazy wild life.
Perfect.
All right.
God bless you all. Have a great week. We'll see you and hear from you anyway, or hear from us next Wednesday.
All right. Good night, Gianni.
Good night, my love.
All right.
From Sinatra stage to Brando scene, Marilyn smiling, the mob's old sheen. Like, comment, subscribe, don't miss the show. HollywoodGodfatherPodcast.com. Let's go. Follow at Hollywood Godfather, Real Gianni Russo. We'll see you next week. That's how we do so.